I want to give a good message tonight, encourage us, build us up. I pray that it'll just be edifying to us in our inner man. And I'm just very thankful for so much that is happening in the Lord. In difficult times, we know that. And we had a good end times seminar, and I think a lot of that can be shared in the future. But tonight, joy. How important joy is. Turn to one verse. We're going to look at Mark 9, but turn to Acts 27, a verse that you maybe remember we preached on, a place where two seas meet. How many remember that message? Acts 27, verse 41. Acts 27, verse 41. Do we have it? Yeah. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The place where two seas met. I believe that there are two realities that we live in every day. There are two worlds, and they go together, but they are two real, two definite, real realities. One is, we see it in Mark 9, the two of them, but I want you to be with me in the message as we begin it. I am sorrowful, the apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I am sorrowful, but then always, you could finish. As sorrowful, but always. Okay, turn to 2 Corinthians 6. I want you to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. If you would like a good memory portion for this week, read 2 Corinthians 6 and memorize from verse 3 down through to verse 11. It's a good text of contrasts. In verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How can you be sorrowful and always rejoicing? Now, there's another point here, 2 Corinthians 2, 7. I just get you set, get you thinking, and read your Bible and think about it, and you will get to the message in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, I want you to notice, swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 2, 7. Do you see it? Swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. The context is about a man who has sinned very, even the pagan culture didn't even do such a thing as he did, which was sleep with his father's wife. And Paul said this to them in 1 Corinthians 5. Now he should be forgiven. Now that man should be forgiven. That man has repented, and he should be forgiven. If we don't forgive him, he could be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. I want to use that phrase and kind of have it stick in your heart and in your mind. Swallowed up with too much sorrow, a lot of sorrow. Being swallowed up with sorrow, overmuch sorrow. And this is what happens to people. They get so sad, and they get swallowed up with their sorrow. They get so broken and so sad and so depressed that they get swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. It happens. It can happen to a Christian. He lives in too much sorrow. I'm saying it over and over again so much that we're sliding down in our chair. No, it'll be good because I want to help you. I want to teach you something. This is amazing. As sorrowful, Paul said, I am sad. I don't deny it. That's one sea. One sea meets another sea. What's the other sea? Now, let me explain this to you. In the ocean, you can have currents that actually go in different directions. On the surface, the water could be going this way, but under the surface, it can go another way. And a rip current, and where two seas meet, there can be a lot of trouble there, where two seas meet. But I wanted to use it this way, that people have sorrow, but they also have joy. Yes, they have sorrow, but they are not swallowed up by the sorrow. They actually have found, and they know, they have a reference in their life, a new standard, a new reference, and it's something that God gives you. God gives it to you. You have it. God gave it to you. You have it. So I want to point it out to you in Mark chapter 9. So I don't know. I don't want to turn there just yet, because I want you to. We got the swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Can you imagine somebody in a depression and it's so deep? Has anybody ever been in a deep depression? Anybody ever been in one? It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. It's a nightmare. You might think you'll never get out of it. You'll never get out of it. It's incredible darkness. It's incredible. It can catch you and take you down. And I'm sorry to say that the troubles that we see happening in some lives, they need help. I'm glad to say that. But I'm sorry to say that the unsaved and the people that we run into at our working place and different places, they need to find not long discussions about sorrow. They need to find life. They need to find Jesus Christ. They need to see a happy face. They need to touch a spirit of joy. They need a word of love and life and love and encouragement and wisdom. And I'm very thankful for the church, because I've seen us go through things with a lot of joy and a lot of strength, actually. A lot of strength, though we are weak, but there's a lot of strength that is in God, and a lot of good things happening, and the Spirit moving, and loving people, and sharing our joy with people. So go now to Mark chapter 9, please. And this was our morning devotional, and I shared it this morning on the website, and it just hasn't left me all day, and it just is like sticking in my heart. So it's at Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 13. That's one C. We could call it a C. That's one of these movements of water. This is a sea. What is it? But it's the transfiguration. The transfiguration with Elijah and Moses. Pastor Shibley gave a great message on that Sunday night. It was beautiful. It was a lot of life in it. It was beautiful. So can you imagine Jesus turning white in prayer on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, then Elijah and Moses appear? And what kind of fellowship do they have? What does it represent? I think it represents heaven. I think when we go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus, we're going to see Elijah, we're going to see Moses, and we're going to see our relatives, and we're going to see many others that we down through history. I am so, one thing in my heart, so many great men and great women of God through history, I am so excited about meeting them. I am so glad to be part of that company. I am so glad to be. I can't believe it. It's incredible. I read this little piece that says, Michelangelo said to fellow painters, this is in 1564, he's the artist that did the Sistine Chapel, "Why do you keep filling gallery after gallery with endless pictures of the one ever reiterated theme of Christ in weakness, of Christ on the cross, Christ dying, Christ hanging dead? Why do you stop there as if the curtain closed upon that horror? Keep the curtain open, and with the cross in the foreground, let us see beyond it to the Easter dawn, with its beams streaming upon the risen Christ. Christ alive, Christ ruling, Christ triumphant. For we should be ringing out over the world that Christ has won, that evil is toppling, that the end is sure, that death is followed by victory. That is the tonic we need to keep us healthy, the trumpet blast to fire our blood and send us crowding in behind our master, swinging happily upon our way, laughing and singing and recklessly unafraid, because the feel of victory is in the air and our hearts thrill to it." I like that idea. And of course, the risen Christ, the finished work, the throne, the priesthood, the blood, the redemption, the forgiveness, the Spirit, Pentecost, the joy, the risen Christ. He appeared to 500 people, and I can't help but think when the 500 people saw him, they started laughing, hugging each other, rejoicing, jumping up and down, can't believe it. The one hanging on the cross is now resurrected and standing in front of us. He appeared to them. It's the resurrection. It's the throne. It's the victory. So this is the first part of Mark 9, and the meaning behind it is that the disciples were brought into a spiritual experience that they would never forget. This is it. This is the bottom line. This is Christ. This is the resurrection. This is heaven. This is fellowship. And that's to be understood, and I believe, because we are born again and Spirit-filled, and the Spirit wants to show us this, that we have degrees of that happening in our hearts. The more of that happening in our life, the better. That sea is going to meet another sea, and that other sea is very different from this one. This sea is like God's statement to us, and it must be very clear. It must be reinforced. It must be scripturally woven into the fabric of our spiritual man. That we would lift up our head and see, that we would believe, that we would behold like Stephen when he was stoned. Good example. He saw Christ standing and that the stones are coming. There's two seas meeting. The reality of God and grace and heaven and the Spirit and joy, and then the reality of death and sorrow. So Paul said, as sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Why always? Because he never lost this. When it's written in your spirit and in your heart, you don't forget it. I believe it, but it takes time that you grow in it. And I'm very sorry for the people that don't have what we have tonight. I'm very sorry for people that are swallowed up in overmuch sorrow. They watch the news. They get anxious. They are troubled. Their hearts are troubled. They have a problem in their family. They get angry. They lash out. They get isolated. They get hurt. And they can't, and they try to find their way. And you know what I'm talking about. So go now to the next part, and it's 9, verse 14. This is the second C. When he came to his disciples, he came down from the mountain, and he came to the other disciples. So there are 9 that there were the 3 that were with him, and now he comes down, and he meets them, and it's a totally different story. Totally different story. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, if you can imagine. Have you ever come down off the mountain and been in one of these meetings? I have. Can you identify some of these scribes? Could you give them a name? Maybe I could. I'm not exactly the same, but I understand the spirit of the scribe. They're around the 9. There's a group of them, a multitude. You can imagine maybe, 80 people, 100 people around a little group of 9. They're almost like sheep in the midst of wolves. And the scribes are asking them questions. And this is another environment. It produces sorrow. That kind of experience produces sorrow. Unanswered questions, troubled hearts, accusation, demonic activity, like problem upon problem. And that happens to Christian people. They get so buried in these kind of environments, and then they don't go to the church. And they don't have a prayer life, and they don't have a devotional life, and they haven't seen Jesus turn white in a spiritual sense. Have you seen Jesus not just on the cross, but resurrected? Have you seen him turn white and appear unto you in your spirit? Have you seen him in your heart? That's the source of our joy. But this other one is the source of our sorrow. Look at the descriptive words here, verse 14, questioning them. Verse 15, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. When they saw Jesus, they were, he's here. Hi, Jesus. They come running to him. Hi, Jesus. This thing over here is like a nightmare. This group over here is like a nightmare. And you and I must recognize this because it's part of life. We're not removed from that. That happens at the working place, happens at the hospital, the police station, it happens at a school, at a university, it happens in a classroom, it may happen with your best friends. It may happen, and it seems like there's a demonic atmosphere there, and there is. It's written here. Let's look at it. They are excited about seeing Jesus, and they saluted him, and he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." They couldn't cast out the spirit. That sounds familiar too. Bring a very troubled young man into a church, and we can't cast out the spirit. We can't do it. We cannot cast out the Spirit. Maybe we can't even sing songs with any passion. Maybe we can't even read the Bible correctly. Maybe we can't even have a prayer meeting, because this dark world is a world of demonic activity that wants to put the church under their thumb. That you can't cast out a demon, you can't have a prayer meeting, you can't be excited, you can't have any joy, you can't have any authority, you can't have any mission, you can't have any vision. You're nothing. You're swallowed up with much sorrow. Yeah, like sorrow, and you're afraid. I can make you afraid. I can put you down. I can narrow your world to something very small, the devil says. So Jesus has a great burden in his heart. And it's like this: I'm going to go away one day, and these are my disciples, and I need them. I need them to show up. I need them to be on my side. I need them to be filled with the Spirit. I need them to be able to cast out demons. I need them to be able to open their mouths. I need them to be able to have compassion in their hearts. I need them in the United States of America. I need them in the major cities of America. I need them to be saying to their neighbor, "Hey, good morning, how you doing? God bless you." They are troubled. You are not. They are worried. They are afraid. You are not. They don't have a message. Just they have their life, and you are not. You've been to the mountain, or you've seen him in your heart. You know who Jesus is. He's filled you with the Spirit. He baptized you into the body. He made you a member of his body, flesh and bones. Isn't that amazing? So I can see Jesus, because we all feel it, I think, in a way. Like Jesus is like, and this is my human way of saying it. I'm not saying this is from God. I'm not saying that, but I'm just trying to help you understand. Like he could say, I'm so glad I came into this dark world, but it's not easy. I'm so glad I came here. You can't believe what it's like in heaven. Nothing like this in heaven. There's nobody with demons in heaven. Nobody arguing. Nobody accusing. There's not Pharisees gathered around trying to bury my disciples. There's nothing like that in heaven. There's Moses is humble. Elijah is humble. Jesus is glorified. The body of Christ is beautiful. The edification permeates you. You are saturated with godly, holy edification and encouragement. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what the disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, a taste of heaven. But now we know this story because we're living here. Ever get an argument with your teacher in school? Ever lose a good friend? Ever have somebody that you fell in love with leave you, get married to somebody else? Ever be a mother trying to take care of your kids and everything goes upside down in one day? The milk spills over, the garage catches on fire, lawnmower is broken, and you broke your leg. And you made a great deal for your husband, a great meal for your husband. And he says, "This is delicious. Can you make it again?" And you say, "No, I don't know what it is." Okay, go to the next verse. It says, verse 19, he answered him and said, "O faithless generation," this is what I mean by the feeling of Jesus. Well, And I think he's talking to his nine, particularly, and anybody else there that's with him. "How long shall I be with you?" It's kind of like, how long do I have to be here? How long do I have to be with you? What a big job. The church is a challenging thing, but it's so awesome because of the benefits of it. But stick it out. Yeah, stick it out. And stay in it. Stay in the game. Stay in the fight. We need you. The devil's work here, and when I fade away and I'm in only in this environment, then it's like the Lord rolls his eyes and says, come on. How long do I need to be here for you to get the idea that I'm serious about this? That we're doing warfare against the enemy. I am serious about this. I'm going to get something done, and I need you guys on my team. Let's go. We're on the same team. So that's the idea, verse 19. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. When I read that recently, of a child, it's a mystery. A child. Demons came into a child. Why? Was the mother in witchcraft? That if the mother's in witchcraft, it may be that the demons have a right to the children. And the children are victims. The demons go to the children. It may be. We don't know what happened. Or it could be that even God is saying that a child's heart can say yes to the devil when he's young. It could be. We don't know the age of accountability. We don't know what it really is. But could a demon come to a child and be invited? And could he be? It could be. We don't know. But in any way, this is a wicked, evil world with demonic activity. And Jesus is coming into that world from heaven. And he has a ministry as sorrowful but always rejoicing, because our God, he is a mighty God, eternal God. He is Spirit, the Spirit. He is Spirit. He is love. He has been sent into this world. And then what does it say there? Oftentimes it is cast him into the fire, verse 22, and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us, help us. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's all. I like to say that. Could you say it as a habit to somebody? Pray to God. Trust God. Pray to God. Could you do that as a habit? When you meet a child, you don't even know them, but you have an opportunity, a teenager, pray to God. God will answer you. Pray to God. Ask God. Can you do that? Believing God. Everything is possible with God. There's some young person has a problem with their math test. Pray to God. God will hear you. God cares. Pray to God. Learn to pray. Ask God. Somebody, a teenager, has a problem at home with the parents getting a divorce, or the parents are mean to each other. The teenager, how do you counsel the teenager? Pray to God. Trust God. Be quiet before God. Walk by faith in God. God hears you. God will help you and your family. God will answer prayer. Do you do that? That's a very simple thing. This is what Jesus said. This man is in great distress. His son has a demon, and he's in a great distress. And the counsel is simple. Believe in God. Trust God. Believe. It's possible. All things are possible. Believe in God. And the man appropriately said, I believe, but help my unbelief. What does that mean, that statement? It means I believe, and at the same time I have unbelief. How could that be? That's very important. I draw it this way in a little diagram. Maybe you've seen it before. It's like a coin. Here's a coin. On one side is faith. Of the same coin is doubt. That's good. That's the way it is. It's not as if we always are walking around with full faith and no doubt. It does happen. I have full confidence. I do not doubt it. I believe it. That is true, but not always. Sometimes I have a little faith, but help my unbelief. This is a message of grace from heaven. This is God understanding human beings. This is God saying, I understand a human being. I understand your pain, your trouble, your unbelief, your fear. I understand who you are. You see, the Mount of Transfiguration is like the reality, and then this world is reality. But in this world, I have that in the back of my mind, and I know the nature of God, the nature of the kingdom, and that's how we have joy, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can always say, He is risen. He is risen. You can always be quiet and trust and wait upon the Lord and know that there's something better. There's something better than my pain and my sorrow, better than that sea. But that sea will meet this sea. That sea meets this sea. And in the story in the book of Acts, it says that the ship ran aground. The ship was destroyed, but everybody was saved. It might mean that something will be destroyed in my life, but I rather have the two seas meet. I rather meet God in the reality of His kingdom and the reality of a demonic world and say, here we are. We can do battle. We can believe you. And if we get in trouble, that's fine. I'm in a place where two seas meet. Because Jesus sent us here for that. He sent us for that. He sent us to say, no, I don't agree with that. No, to the Pharisees, you guys have your little talk. I'm out of here. I've got Jesus in my heart. You have your little talk, but I'll be here like Stephen, very wise, very, you can't resist my spirit. And the only way to get rid of me is to kill me. And that might be the very thing that'll happen. But as you are killing me, my face is shining like an angel, because there is a kingdom that is in you. It is in your heart and spirit. Let's finish up. It says here, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible. Straightway the father, the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples said unto him privately, why could not we cast him out? Okay, so now Jesus comes into the house, and it's over. There's the victory. They're kind of relaxing there. And they say, why couldn't we cast him out? Like, maybe we should talk to Jesus like that more. Why couldn't it be? Why couldn't we have a revival? By the way, September 26th, we're going to go to Lincoln Memorial by bus. If you want to, we want to come with us. We're going to pray with Franklin Graham. No music, no preaching, but according to his directions, we're going to walk from the Lincoln Memorial down the mall to the Capitol building and praying for our country, praying for our country. But we could sit around and talk to Jesus. Why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't there be more happening? Why couldn't there be more salvation? You know what I mean. Why couldn't it, you know, why in this, all this understandable things that we could talk about this fallen world, why isn't there more going on? Why isn't there? And Jesus would talk back to us. Hallelujah. Lovingly, with an excitement in our spirit. We say, amen, Lord. We say, we're with you. Amen, Lord. That's awesome. Yeah, we agree. We believe. Yes, Lord. And that's what happened. It says, verse 29, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Wow. What else could Jesus say to us? You know, he could say to us here at Greater Grace, I believe he could say, I am so thrilled that you guys meet together often. I am so thrilled that you're not living in any fear. I am so thrilled that you're on a mission, that you go to the little towns and villages in Maryland and Virginia and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I'm so glad that one soul is valuable across the street. I'm so glad that you got a day school. I'm so glad that you have prayer meeting. I'm so glad that you're anticipating my coming. I'm so glad that you're engaged in warfare. I'm so glad that you're not afraid of the devil and the darkness. And I am so glad that you are not swallowed up overmuch with sorrow. Because this world needs your happy face. Ecclesiastes 8:1, he causes our countenance to shine and be bold as a lion. He allows us to have a ministry by his grace. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Jesus. You know our shortcomings, Lord. You know our stuff. You know every one of us have been swallowed up, pouting, hurt, withdrawn, angry, like teenagers and children. But we can't afford to live in anything other than something deeper and better. And lead us, Lord, with this purpose and Holy Spirit work, what we say, what we do, how we pray. Recently, I've been praying a couple hours a day and just waiting on God, just seeking him in my heart, these times that we live in. Lord, this is our home. Baltimore, this is our home. This is our church. Lord, we want to be able to do battle. Forgive us for not casting out a demon or having discernment. Forgive us for falling short in some way. Forgive us for indifference and all that stuff. And you don't condemn us. You love us and provoke us in love and lead us and our kids and our families. It's a battle, God. It's a battle. Sometimes the devil is sitting at the end of the bed when we get up in the morning, and we got to shoo him out of the house. We got to rebuke him. We have to resist the devil and he will flee. We have to discern his voice and understand human emotions and grow up and be ready for warfare, because the Lord said, how long must I be here with you guys before you get it? And I need you there. I need you there. And that's what we feel. And you give us this victory and joy and peace. Father, we want to walk on the high places of our enemy. We want to crush devil under our feet. We want to believe you for everything. We want to do battle for our kids and our grandkids and our neighborhoods. We want to be behind preachers and pastors in America, whatever denomination, as long as they are men of God and women of God, spirit-filled and wise. We want to be doing war. We want to win people to Christ. We want waves of this to happen. Jesus' name, we pray. And anyone here not a believer or listening to my voice, come to Jesus tonight. Make a decision. Make a decision and turn from yourself and believe. Give him your life. Trust in him with your heart and ask for salvation. Just believe in him. Open your heart. He will help you. He will fill you and he will show you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Anyone saying that, the ushers will give, raise your hand, the ushers will give you a booklet, anyone at all here tonight. Yes to Jesus, yes to Jesus. Pray for the village or city we're going to go to this Saturday, and many of them we're going to evangelize and work. Pray for Maryland and our neighborhoods and our work, and let's see what God does in these great days. In Jesus' name, amen.